This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Well, listen, it's a real pleasure to be with you. Thrilled to answer anything, any way I can provide value. So let's just maximize time before they drag me on stage. So anybody, fire away.
So over the last couple of days, it's become really clear that you're all about being genuine
and
providing value.
Yes.
And you said yesterday that you never get asked this question, so here it is. As content creators, how can we provide our audience with more value?
Yeah, what he's referencing is, I believe that a lot of people hit, you know, all of you are on your journey, and we, you know, I've been really focusing on this space since 2006. It's a long time. Back to being 10 years, you know, I'm like, fuck, I'm so old, 10 years, right? You know, but it's very clear to me, you know, 15, almost 20 years later, everyone here has gotten to a place based on their talent, their creativity, their work ethic, and like anyone in anything, then, especially in this game, with an audience, you then hit a place. You're in a place. Like, of course, you can keep growing, but like, there's a place. And I think the thing that I'm most fascinated by is if people could really take that next step with themselves and say, okay, I've been producing in a manner that has a lot of energy towards what am I gonna get out of it? I wanna be famous, I wanna make money, I wanna send them to our page and turn them into a paying customer, I want more followers, I want more likes, I want, like, if you can make that shift to, why would anybody wanna watch this thing that I'm about to post? It can make them laugh, that's escapism. You may be an attractive person, that brings value. You may give business advice. There's a million reasons why something could be valuable, but really starting to push yourself into, like, what's very clear, what works for me and what I see in others that take the next steps is genuinely, like, pushing yourself to try to provide actual value, actually. And so that's it. It's not a super complicated, it's kind of like, I think of these things similar to the way I think about health and fitness. Like, it's not that complicated to get into better shape. Like, there's a calorie situation, there's a protein situation, there's going to the actual gym and doing it. Of course, there's technique if you want to maximize your muscles, but the reality is it's not so complicated. It's hard to do, right? You know, it's not, what I just said is profoundly simple. Do you think every time you post, how is this actually bringing value? Or do you think about this is gonna do well and get me more followers? Or this is gonna lead to sales of a t-shirt? Or this and that. And so, I think people should worry about what they want. I'm talking about a group like this that's already gotten to a real place and is thinking about how do I get to the next place? And I think adding the element of selflessness is a incredible formula for growth. And it feels nice. You're welcome.
I've got an interesting one, actually. Sorry.
Please. No worries, brother. No worries.
But like kind of jumping off that then, what's your thoughts on, you know how there's like the 80-20 rule, for making money? So like in business, venture towards what that 80% is that makes you the most, and then whatever else is left over is the 20%. What if that 20% is the shit that you really love to do, but it's not making that much money, and the 80% is what's making you all your money? Like, would you split that lower to 50-50, or would you keep doing the 80-20 until the 20 becomes 40 or something?
My goal would be for the second thing to be 100 and then live within the means of what that provides.
Okay.
I think that's the ultimate goal of a human being. Like, I really question the concept of the next variable after one makes the money. So if you think about it, right, you're saying, hey, 80% is where it makes the money, 20% is what brings me the happiness. You know, if we're having dinner for 4 hours and become great, great friends, over time, I'm looking forward to it. You know, from scene to best friends, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, to me, the question I have with all the people that most are important to me is, let's just play this out. Like, what's the money for? How much money? For what? And like, what ends up happening is, what I know is that when you're, how old are you, Dad?
51.
I'm 47, right? So we're in a different place than a lot of people in this room. I know that the people that I talk to that are a generation above us, 82, 91, like the money talk starts to dissipate very quickly. And so the question becomes, you know, my recommendation is to spend as much time as possible on the 20%. You know, because happiness is just so much more sustainable, and more importantly, what are you doing with the money that you make on the 80%? I think most people are buying a proxy to happiness, not actual happiness. They think they're buying happiness, but it's not their actual happiness. And so I'm very fascinated by that question. I would push you as much as possible to the other stuff, as much as humanly possible.
This is the 20% vlogging.
Good for you, brother. And what, you know, if vlogging is your 20%, then you're starting to go into my territory. My happiness comes from being a businessman. When I was 5 or 6 or 7 or 3, when everyone in high school was trying to like party and hook up and have fun, the most fun thing for me was going to the flea market and selling shit. That was more fun for me.
Yeah, I'm a big collector, so I enjoy
what you know what I mean? Like, I really like it more. Like, I like it more than going to a concert. Though I understand that that's a minority, I can't help my chemicals. It is more fun for me to go to the baseball card show or to work at my dad's liquor store stocking shelves than to do what most people find fun. That worked out for me because what I find the most enjoyable and fun that I was naturally good at also has a direct correlation to creating money. If your fun is vlogging, that has a direct correlation to making money because you're building brand and awareness.
Yeah, it's just my 80% is like different content at the moment. So I'm trying to transition content. I've still got like employees to pay and stuff like that.
I totally understand. The question, the other side of the pillow of what we were just talking about is the tolerance for the 80%. The other thing that's interesting is when you're doing something that is paying for your livelihood, where are you? Are you in, I used to fucking love it, and now I just like it? That's fucking amazing. I kind of used to like it, and now I'm just kind of like whatever with it, like neutral, still pretty good. I've never really loved it, and now I fucking hate it, now I'm starting to get scared. That's where I've seen so many of my friends and so many people for so many years starting to get into a dangerous place because hate it starts to leave an opening for them to take their money and spend it on shit to close the gap on them hating their day to day, which gets into dangerous territory. So, you know, for all the people that are tolerating or going through the reality of there's something that provides you the money and you're not doing your passion, I just need to know where you sit on that. Like, kind of okay, I can tolerate it. When it starts bleeding into I hate it, you have to be careful.
Yeah, very good, thank you.
You're welcome, brother. Because what I see so often is when they hate it, then what they're using their money for is to close the gap on pain, and that gets into alcoholism and drugs and thrills and womanizing and just what, like all the stuff that can really ultimately lead to hitting rock bottom emotionally.
Mine's UFC cards.
Well, that I like. UFC cards are good.
Where do you think, so we struggle a lot with getting videos demonetized and censorship and stuff like that. Where do you think social media is going?
I think there'll be decentralized social networks built on the blockchain that will have no censorship, and you'll be like, you know how athletes that are professional athletes are always mad at the next generation because they make much more money but they're not as good at them? You'll have that same feeling. There'll be, in 15 years, there'll be a crew and you're gonna look at them and be like, they're not even as good as us, but they don't have the same headaches you had, because that's just how the world works. Yeah. But you have it better than the people 20 years ago that had to go to Hollywood and be discovered.
Yeah. Do you think platforms like Rumble and Twitter, because they don't obviously censor anything, do you think they'll start growing and overtaking the others, or do you reckon?
No, I think it's been very proven that things that are censored are always a smaller niche than things that aren't. I don't think they'll overtake. I think you'll have options. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's not, they won't overtake. And what gets censored changes over time too.
Yeah.
You know, what we deem as censorable, or like my career, which we've talked about a couple times on this trip, because Steve and it works at Vayner Speakers, and we've known each other a long time before he worked with me. And like, I mean, I was told to my face that I could never be a big speaker in 2009 because I cursed too much. And that I dress too casual for the business crowd. So, you know, I think, and I left a lot of money on the table, just like you're leaving money on the table because you can't monetize against things of that nature. It goes back to his question. Are you gonna change, or are you just gonna be patient to when, you know, and that becomes the game? You could also do what you're doing content-wise. You could make content that is beeping out or slightly more edited in social, but then drive them to your environment and be what as crazy as fucking you want to be.
Well, that's literally what we do.
and as you should. So don't be philosophical or emotional about it. Double down on the truth. One of the biggest strengths I have is I leave my feelings at the door when I do business. Instead of being like, fuck the system, and you know, I just make fucking mundane content and like with beeps and slightly altered and censored and drive it to my site, and you know, because every minute that you two say, fuck, you know, Meta or Instagram or TikTok is a second that you're not putting into creativity to drive people to go to your website.
Yeah.
Fighting the punchline is not interesting. Give it no energy. And then where people get caught is they go to Rumble and they think like, or this, and they're like, but it's a small percent. Like, they're cutting their nose to spite their face. Proving nothing to nobody. They're just getting steamed in their own room. Like, this is where the whole world is right now. They're just fucking festering with each other on some shit that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Make fucking money, make the censored content on social and siphon them off and live your happiness. Yes, brother.
There's a lot of things, like I'm a bit different to the other people in this room.
Okay.
Like being a content creator or anything like that. At the moment I'm doing like sales and everything.
Yes.
I know it's a really good skill to learn.
It is.
And a few of my friends are YouTubers and everything, and they tell me, oh, Jameson, you'd be great on the camera. You can talk to people. You move your hands and everything. I'm like, yeah.
Do you want to?
Yeah, I do. And
okay.
Harry and I were thinking like, because he wants to change up his content a little bit, and obviously needs someone in front of the camera. So like, it's just transitioning into that. Because obviously there's a lot of that.
Why do you have to transition? Why don't you just do both for a time?
Yeah, well, it's also actually doing the kind of, because we talk about it all the time, like doing videos and stuff like that, but it never actually gets
done. What are you guys scared of?
I don't know.
Probably.
I think I'm just safe with what I can do, which is the festivals.
Yep.
Artists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. Makes sense.
So it's like,
well, it's what you can do now. Mm-hmm. I think that most people are scared to do stuff because they're not sure if it's going to work.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not going to work if you're going to just keep talking to each other. That's guaranteed.
Yeah, if you don't take any action.
Yeah, I mean, it's guaranteed that nothing's going to happen if you keep talking to each other. And there's a high percentage chance that it won't work out. But at least you won't regret it in 13 years that you never did it. Regret is the poison of society. You know, like, you just gotta get, you know, I think the thing to think about is, like, what are you gonna get made fun of by your friends because your YouTube channel didn't do well? Who gives a shit? What are you gonna
do?
You know what I mean? Like, you're not in junior high.
Yeah.
Like, it's gonna
Can
be
I
okay.
Add something to
yeah,
that?
Of course.
I started out in business last year and it failed, right? And I learned so much from that, where I could grow more from that. So those things are starting up, you learn from that, and you can grow and become bigger from that.
And there's people, and there's people who fail 16 times in a row and decide to never try again, but at least when they go into the ground, they knew they took a fucking swing.
Have you had any failures of recent years, businesses, or?
Like, yes, in the micro of them, not in the macro. You know, but I'm also an extremely experienced operator who like has a really good sense of like what he does. You know, like most of the business, like I'm extremely good at my craft, but I would fail at most things that I wasn't good at my craft and I was doing for the first time. Like, you know, I got my ass kicked the first time I played pickleball. I'm taking up jiu-jitsu in September. I don't think it's gonna go very well the first year. I have a funny feeling I'm gonna get hurt and lose a lot. Like, you know, so, you know, for me in business, you're now talking about the place I've been training since I was six, like, and I had natural talent in it. And I don't even logically know how to launch a business that would fail.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know how to do that.
Yeah.
No different than people here couldn't fail at the thing that they were meant to do. Like, if you're funny or like, if you have athletic ability, like, there's, some people are just athletic, and the first time they do anything, it's gonna be pretty fucking solid. They'll hone their skills, but they're athletic. I'm not capable of starting a business that's gonna fail if I'm running it. I've had a lot of failures where I'm like, kind of like partners with someone and I'm not doing it, or I'm like helping out, but if I'm driving the fucking car, there's no fucking chance. But that's also because I'm 40 years into practice, and I was naturally good at it. If you've never done it, If you go from never doing it to having a business, well, that makes a fucking ton of sense. Like, if I was forced right now to sing a fucking concert, it would be a fucking shit show. You know, but do I think in 13 years I could put on something that was at least serviceable with 13 years of fucking singing lessons? I do. At least serviceable, probably not good because it wasn't I'm not fucking Beyonce. But it would be a hell of a lot better than if I just went out there and sang fucking 9 songs right now. There'd be like 3 people left in the fucking crowd. You know, so I think we don't talk enough about that with business.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, I'm just gonna be a creator and I'm just gonna run a business. I'm like, okay, fucking mazel tov, but like, if you've never fucking tried, like, this is gonna be gnarly. You know, like, I made videos on YouTube in February of 2006 every day, till today. I've made video content on the internet every day since, pretty much. I mean, there's, you know, and so like, that's a lot of practice. But the first time I spoke in 2007, it was good, because I was naturally talented at it. And then I got better. And so like, people spend too much time wanting to be something they're not instead of analyzing who they are. And then you make decisions. Back to that question, you just might want to be a rapper. Then it's okay to be a non-commercially successful rapper because it gives you tremendous joy. And if you live within the means of what you've been able to accomplish with being the 70th trillionth best rapper in the world, that's a happy life. These are the convos we need to have more of.
I prepared something for you specifically.
Yep.
Spent a lot of time on this one. I would love to share it with you if that's cool.
I'm happy to do it.
I love magic.
Could we go on that table with that? See the table?
Sure.
Over there. All right. Awesome.
Get this shit close up. I'll some magic.
Quickly.
Do I need
them? No.
We're here with Gary V.
I am here.
Woo! Gary, have you ever heard of a card story before?
No.
You've never heard of it?
Nope.
I wrote a story with a pack of cards.
Okay.
I'm gonna shuffle these cards, just like so. Give it a Sacham shuffle. All the cards, you can see they're all normal, right? All the cards? Yeah?
Well, hold on. Is this normal? Is that a joker?
One? That's a joker, yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. This story is about a guy named Jack.
Okay.
He was born in 1975.
That's me.
Oh. But what's crazy is he had a mom, he had a dad, and Jack, at the age of just 8 years old, started a lemonade store. And he started selling lemonade for 25 cents. What? Crazy, right? When he was only 14, he started making $2,000 per week, doing all his business card sales, all that card selling.
That's amazing.
VaynerMedia, VaynerX, started making tens, hundreds, thousands, millions of dollars. Crazy respect right there, right? Here, we have 2021, the year 2021. He had over 8.9 million followers on Instagram, 3.6 million Twitter followers, and 3.4 million YouTube subscribers with over 379 million channel views. Pretty crazy, fam. But here, he was impressing all the ladies, all the guys. Today, the man is 47 years old, written 6 books. And I'm not joking, Gary. These 6 books he wrote, Jack had over 5 times New York bestseller. That's round of applause right there, guys. Come on. That's a big thing. He's telling people ace life. Literally, with his content, he's helping people to ace life. Jack had one dream, to buy the New York Jets, which is currently worth $5.4 billion. But wait, why does he want to do this? Because of his mom. The real reason was because of his mom. Because when this guy was only 7 years old, he wanted to buy the jersey and couldn't afford it at the time. So he made a dream. So he would buy that jersey, go to that stadium, own the team, put it right in front of it. And you know how long it took his mom to make that jersey? 3 weeks.
That is incredible.
Thank you, guys.
Brother, that
Thank
was
you.
Really well done.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You for doing that. Give me a hug. That was really nice. Really nice, brother.
You really inspired me so much in the past 10 years. of my life, and I've been doing magic, acting. I've gotten a lot of opportunities through YouTube because I've been grinding on social. I watched a video of yours when you, like, I think it's a video for 20-year-olds.
Yes.
And it was like high risk.
Yep.
And I was, the beginning of the year, I finished my university degree in marketing media. I was doing a lot of crazy stuff here with filming and all magic and all that. I went to LA and I started studying acting over there. I ended up getting a manager in acting and I started working a lot over there as well. And then I recently did my first feature film produced by Dev Patel called Not. So it's been a hell of a journey, and I just wanted to say that
this was amazing.
You have really, you know,
thank you both. Thank you both. Thank you both. It's amazing. So well done.
It's crazy.
That's good shit. It's amazing. So well done.
Doesn't it suck when you get that emotional and you're going to
go? Yeah, it's really good. Thank you both.
Just let him mic you up.
A few more minutes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Do you want to go down the chute?
Yeah, that'd be great. All right, let's keep going. I want to maximize. Thank you, brother. Yes, go ahead.
With your, so obviously you make a lot of content. Do you oversee the editing process? Do you get your editors to like fine tune what they're doing? Like, do you?
They're working. We have a WhatsApp. The whole team's on it. I will give feedback, but I'm pretty big on like letting them have the creative freedom, posting and learning post game. So I'll say things. There's a lot of feedback. I won't post it if I don't like it. What would you say, I would say almost 50% of what you,
probably more. Yeah.
I would say like 50 to 70% of what the team makes, I don't post. Because I didn't feel it, doesn't feel right. A lot of times, I write all the copy. So a lot of times the video will get to a place and I know I can get my point across by adding the copy. But then we have meetings, I add my two cents, I talk about things. Like it's a constant conversation, but I'm very built in the volume and putting it out. I also like learning. I also like when I didn't like it and it does well, I'm learning.
Yeah, okay. Going back to Maitland's question before the 80-20
thing. Yes.
How do you get better with time management when you've got so much going on and all are doing really well?
I'm very good at that, so this is something I'm confident in.
I guess because, and they're all different types of businesses too, so you've got your ad revenue.
I got it.
Another one's the vlog channel, which generates revenue to the merchandise or food sales.
Yep.
And then you have the subscription platform. You've just got so many things so important to your business, but you're just constantly flat out. How do you get better with trying to manage your time a bit better?
People.
What about when it's a brand so revolved around you?
People. He just asked me about my own content that is me. And I said, giving people freedom. It's me. People, you have a direct leader for every one of the different businesses, and you have people that manage, like you have real admins to manage your time. Your time is your game.
Yeah.
I would say that 30% of my meetings, Monday through Friday, are 15 minutes or less.
Yeah.
What if you're not in the position to employ someone?
Stop buying stuff.
Stop being so good.
You know what I mean, brother?
Yeah.
Like, invest in your business and your infrastructure before you buy the stuff.
Yeah.
Like when, you know, like if we were like boys, I'd be like, show me everything. I'd be like, do not buy a fucking Prada bag.
Yeah.
Keep that and fucking employ someone. Like that to me is fucking religion.
Yeah.
You know? Like you can afford it. Because by the way, everyone in here has achieved something that almost every 18-year-old wants. Everyone's different, but we're so like rigid, but that would be my answer. You can afford it. There's different ways to think about it. You know what I mean? You know, first I look at your life, first I go into accountability of like your lifestyle. Like live a little less bougie and get an admin, and then I go into like, and some people are like, fuck you, Gary, I don't have anything, I don't buy anything. I'm like, okay, let's go to the next thing. You do have your platform and people want your platform. They want access to your platform, they think you're cool.
Gary?
Thank you.
Of course, brother.
Whole world of AI is obviously massive in the future.
Yes.
How do you think that can be brought into like content creation?
It's gonna be, I mean, it's already massive. Like, have you played with it?
Yes, but I don't really know how to apply it to anything.
I have 30 employees whose job it is to watch all the footage right now and find the best moments, and we've already tested rudimentary AI that's better than them.
Info
Photoshop AI.
Anybody need Dustin? You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, right? Like, but it's not like it'll just make them do different things. Like, it's gonna save them time. It's not like, oh, now you're fine. Like, they'll do different things. When the tractor was invented, in 1860, 80% of the world worked on a farm. Then we invented tractors, and we didn't have to do that anymore. We did different shit. So I don't think everyone's demonizing AI. AI is going to commoditize certain things, and if you are a Adobe Photoshop designer that doesn't have a thought to their brain, and you make everything that someone else tells you, you might be in trouble. But if you are an Adobe Photoshop designer that thinks their ass off as they make their stuff, that's not being replaced tomorrow. But it's gonna massively impact content creation. It's gonna massively impact everything.
All right.
I gotta go. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks so much for your time, guys.